I've been reading Dimitri Dudeman's Dreams and Visions from God. And one of them that caught my eye was the one he had about the Black Army. And this was in May the 7th, 1993. He says, one night while in Oregon, I dreamed the sky was getting dark. And then suddenly it turned pitch black. It was as if the whole world had gone dark at that moment. All the people were in a frenzy. They became disoriented, and some were even screaming. After some time, we heard the sound of an army approaching. And soon, we saw them running out of the black mist, and all were dressed in black except one. And that one seemed to be their leader. He was dressed in a red robe with a thick black belt over his waist. And on his head, he had a sign. As I looked, I saw that in his hand, he held the same kind of sharp spear as everyone else in his army. I am Lucifer, he exclaimed. I am the king of this world. I have come to make war against the Christians. It looked as though all the Christians were huddled together in one big group. Some began to cry when they heard this. Others began to tremble, while some just stood without saying anything. Lucifer continued to speak. All of those that want to fight against my army and think they can be victorious go to the right. And those that fear me go to the left. Only about a quarter of the group stepped to the right. All the others went to the left. And then Lucifer ordered his army, destroy those on the right. The army began to advance and quickly surrounded the Christians on the right. As they began to close in on us, a powerful light appeared and encircled us. Then an angel of the Lord spoke and said, take out your swords and fight. Defend yourselves and be victorious over the army. What sword? The word of the Lord is your sword, the angel answered. What the angel meant, we began to quote verses from the Bible. That's your sword, folks. And then suddenly, as if we were one voice, we began. Our voices thundered so loudly that the dark army began to retreat in fear. They did not have the courage to come against us anymore. Lucifer, then filled with rage, turned to those on the left. You, who all of your life have been trying to please two masters because you could not stand against me, I have the power to destroy you. He then ordered his army to attack. It was a total massacre. The ones on the left could not defend themselves. One by one, they all fell. This killing seemed to go on for a long time. After a while, we could actually smell the stench of the death of the dead. Why could they not be protected also, someone asked. The angel answered, because all their life they have been lukewarm. Because of their hypocrisy, the true church has been blasphemed. They have brought disrespect to the word of God. They were not clean. And as we continued to look, we saw the sun coming over the horizon. The black clouds began to break up. Then they disappeared. Only one was left on which Lucifer and his army stood. Lucifer looked at me, shaking his fists, and said, I will destroy you even if I have to throw my spear at you from here. Then that cloud disappeared too. And as I looked around, I began to see faces that I recognized among our group. I saw a pastor from Bellflower, another from Indiana, one from Michigan, as well as many of my American friends. This strengthened me greatly. And then I awoke. The thought that came to my mind as I awoke was that this had been the last fight of the devil against the church. If we remain faithful, we will be victorious. And that's a good lesson to learn, y'all. Don't be lukewarm like the apostate church. Always run after the Lord. Go after the Lord with all your heart. We're in perilous times now, and we want to have that sword sharpened up and ready for the enemy. Take it out of its scabbard now and start using it against the sword, against the enemy. When you do, you're going to have these victories over all the power of the enemy. Amen. Here's another one. It says a call to war. These are just two of them I'm going to recite to you because they're so appropriate for what's going on today. It says, a call to war, September 1993, a prophecy. Cease heading the way you have been going and turn to me, says the Lord. Lucifer, who is armed for war on his horse, is coming with a powerful army behind him to take vengeance against the children of God. The day is close, a day of terror when Lucifer will try to annihilate all those that leave a clean life. A day of pain and terror is near. If you could see what is being prepared and what will happen, you would surely quit doing everything you know in your heart to be wrong and would seek peace more than ever. Be prepared, be holy, and don't give in to the temptations and impulses of the enemy. Seek the Lord your God with all your heart. Those who will be clean, those who will be holy, I will not forget. I will save them, says the Lord. The armies of the devil are coming with great fury against those who worship me and truly seek me. Pray that I may give you strength so that before the storm comes, I may save you and give you the joy. Those that live in defilement, that meditate upon evil things, will have no escape. They will not have my protection. I will destroy Babylon, says the Lord, because of the wickedness and blasphemy of this country. Not only here, but wherever there is sin, I will punish it harshly. Only the righteous will I save, some even out of the midst of the fire. Again, I'll tell you, a dark cloud is gathered. Lucifer, standing on his black horse, is ready for war. The trumpets of the devil are sounding day and night to all the demons of the deep to be prepared to make war against those who truly live their lives for God. There will be such great turmoil that only few will escape. Those that today only care the name of believer will fight with fury against those who worship me with a clean heart. And this is why I have revealed this to you, because the days are numbered. I reveal to you, I speak to you, I show to you, says the Lord. But many do not want to remember, saying to themselves, is it truly the Lord speaking this? Others become scared for the moment, but then they forget and never become pure. Many of those who carry the name of Christian are overcome by greed, fornication, drunkenness, and a pursuit for great wealth. There's no time to lose. The day of destruction and terror is coming soon. The devil is agitated, and a great deception is being prepared. But I tell you, do not fear. I have the power to protect those who obey me. You must remember the word of God, for if you will not obey, the day of terror will come, and you will suffer together with the wicked and defiled. I will punish all the wickedness of this world and all the sin of this place. Be awake and waiting, because if you will not, you will be punished as the wicked and also lose your salvation for your disobedience. Disobedience is punished more than anything, says the Holy Spirit. Pray for your children and stop them from doing worldly things. Tell them that the wrath of God is coming and that they must be prepared for that day. Tell them to read the Bible and pray that I may also save them. The great day, the day of terror, the day of affliction, of pain, the day of the punishment of Babylon prophesied in the Bible is soon coming, and I will only spare the righteous, says the Lord. I forgive who I want, I make holy who I want, and I prepare who I want, judge no one, for mine is the judgment, says the Lord. Each of you judge yourself, pray and draw close to me, and if you will obey, I will come to your aid. I will send a chariot of salvation and take each one out in his appointed time. Do you notice that? In his appointed time. Praise be to God. Folks, it's time to get ready. This prophecy came in September of 1993. All of you know we're a whole lot closer now than he was back then. That day is here upon us. It's time to shut down everything but God in your lives. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, that's the message that God's given all of us, is to shut down the world, shut down everything that doesn't glorify God. And I'm telling you, he'll see you through the days ahead. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your protection. Lord, we thank you that you're going to put this faith in our hearts, in each one of our hearts, Lord. You're going to draw us to you. Lord, we ask that you put a hunger in our spirit that just defiles everything that we have stood for before, Lord, that we're going to run after you in a way that we've never done before because we love you. And we want to be next to you, Lord. We want that love that you have. Lord, put that love that you have into our hearts, Lord, for each other. We praise you, Lord, that you're doing that, and to help us and encourage each other, Lord, and to pick one up that may be falling down, Lord. Put that love in our heart. And like you said, Lord, we're not going to judge. We're just going to help. We're going to look at the spirit, and we're not going to look at the person. And we just praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else? What y'all think about that prophecy?
Hey, Michael. You hear me, Michael? Michael, are you muted?
No, I'm not.
Well, can you hear me or no?
Speaking.
Can you hear me?
Well, I am. Yes, I can.
Okay. Can't hear you too good.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you better now. The same things that you were sharing right now have been so deeply on my heart, what David shared on Sunday's evening about the prophecies and stuff, was just a very strong confirmation in my spirit. Spurgeon used an analogy. He said, like the sickening mutterings of thunder before a great and terrible storm. And I hear that thunder. And I've shared it before, but what's dawning in my spirit these days is just a greater reality of the things we've talked about, the things we profess. All of a sudden, they're upon us, and the enormity of it and the immensity of it, I think we've underestimated. And I still don't think we have a clear picture because we have no reference point except what the Word of God says. But I'm convinced in my heart that the casualties will be great. It says in the Scripture there'll be a falling away before the man of sin is revealed. It said they're going to deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures until the end will be saved. But there's you can see the stirring right now, the tremendous rising up against the saints of God. They don't have a problem with Mormons. They don't have a problem with Hindus. They don't have a problem with Muslims who are out butchering everybody. They don't have a problem with communists. They got a problem with Christians. Because it's the devil that runs this world system, and he hates Christ and hates Christians. And it says in the Scripture, "Rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell in them." That's Revelation 12. But woe to you, inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down with great wrath upon you, because he knows he has but a short time left. And he's been trying to break the scriptures and the promises of God since his whole inception, or since mankind has been on the earth. He's been trying to break that promise that mankind would bruise his head. And, you know, I believe with all my heart that he's coming to the realization that he's not going to win in this matter. So he's going to just let it all bring as many down with him as he can right now. But the thing that's really stirring in my heart right now is that we would be very sober. As Scripture says in 2 Timothy 2, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And we've mentioned it before, but there's a time in the scriptures to beat your swords into plowshares and a time to beat your plowshares into swords. Different kind of preparation for two different kinds of an hour. But the issue is this a time of peace or a time of war? And if it's a time of war, it's time to take your plowshares and beat them into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. It's not a time for agriculture and planting organic gardens. It's a time for warfare. And brothers and sisters, there's no conscientious objectors in this battle right now, I can tell you without a doubt. There's only two kinds of people in the end of this matter, overcomers and those that are overcome. There's those that learn how to fight and are like that vision that was given Dmitry Dudema when the devil face-to-face confronted the people, a bunch of people, and they separated them off into two groups. Those that were willing to stand, they weren't going to bow to the devil no matter what he did with whatever army he had. They said, no, we're not going to bow. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're not careful to answer you. We're not going to bow. And the devil's going to come with great fury in this hour. And if we're looking with our natural eyes, just like Luke says, men's hearts failing them for fear, just looking at the things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This is something that's been planned right now. It's been planned by the enemy, but it's also been foreseen by the Lord that there would be a complete darkness on the earth. It says, behold, you know, when it says in Isaiah 59, it says, judgment is turned away backward, justice standeth afar off, truth is fallen in the street, equity cannot enter, yea, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself the prey. And you see what it says, and behold, darkness, it goes on a little farther, it says, behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. And that's what we're coming into right now. You know, it says when he opened this one of the seals, and anyway, there, I saw a horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and to him was given a great sword. And that's what's going on right now. The Lord's allowed this. The Lord's the one that opened the seal, but the effect of it was that peace would be taken from the earth. Power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and to him was given a great sword. God's the one that opened the seal. God's the one that let it loose. But it's the hearts of men made manifest. It's the devil's last fling, and the Lord's going to allow it. And there's going to be, you know, in these judgments that are on the earth in the Revelation, high percentage of the earth is going to be wiped out. That's what's coming upon us right now. And brothers and sisters, we can't be moved. We've got to see beyond the veil of this natural realm. We've got to get in a place right now where we trim the fat in our lives and put aside, cast aside, you know, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us, run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you should be wearied and faint in your minds. For you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We've got to be in a place, brothers and sisters, where we've counted the cost, and we're in rest, the rest of faith, the rest that comes by laboring to enter into that rest, a rest that knows whom we have believed and is persuaded that he's able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. It's something that's contended for. It's not the rest of ignorance. It's the rest of faith. It's not something you slide into. It's contended for. Jude said, I would that you would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Brothers and sisters, when I read the Book of Martyrs and I see the brethren who go and kiss the stake that they were to be burned at before they get it, and they say, you don't need to tie me up. I'm not here because I have to be. I'm here because of my devotion to God and not this world's. You know, and there's brethren again and again. One sister, they took this young lady and pulled her out of the fire and said, you don't need to die. She turned around and jumped back in. She didn't want to be identified with those pagans that wanted them to bow at the whore, at the Catholic whore. And it's time again, brothers and sisters, to take a mighty stand. And there's no faint-hearted in this hour. The faint-hearted will not survive. I'm telling you now, the faint-hearted will not survive. He says in the Scriptures, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's not that we're called to stand in our own might, but we're called to stand. And it's to stand in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. This is here, brothers and sisters. It's the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on a breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take unto you the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and making intercession for all saints. We're called to, those are our weapons, brothers and sisters, to pray for one another, to put on the whole armor of God. Most of those are defensive. But praying for one another and the sword of the Spirit are the offensive weapons where we have offense against the enemy. And it's time, brothers and sisters, it's a time of war. Lay aside every weight. And it's a time right now where we, like it says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. We're all of us right now getting ready to face impossible odds. We're getting ready to face things that our natural eyes, we would cringe. If we looked with our natural eyes and with our natural mind, we would cringe. But brothers and sisters, we're to stand and be strong in the Lord. And the power of His might. I bring to your remembrance, though you heard it many times, when Joshua and Caleb brought back the testimony, it was in the face of the same giants that everybody else was looking at. They got iron chariots, they said. They got walled cities. The height of their stature is so great, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We're not able to overcome them. And Joshua still, the people said, they're bred for us. Their defenses departed. Let's go at once and possess this land, for if God is pleased with us, He'll bring us into this land. And he said, for he is able. It's not a matter of whether we're able or not. We're not able. We're none of us a match for the devil in ourselves. We're not a match for the littlest demon in ourselves. But in Christ, with his authority and with his power and with the call of God on our lives and with the anointing, and we've got to know that anointing. We've got to know the power we have in Christ. That's what Paul prayed for when he said that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. The eyes of your understanding would be enlightened to know the hope of your calling, to see beyond the veil of this natural realm and to see the value of that eternal kingdom, that pearl of great price. To be able to look beyond and see the exceeding greatness of His power to us that believe. God's given us power over every principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named. And He has put all things under His feet, the lowest member of the body of Christ. And if we see it, not with the eyes of flesh, but with the eyes of faith, with the eyes of the Spirit, we can look at the devil and say, you bet for us. He says, if you'll submit yourself to God, you resist the devil. He didn't say resist the demon. We do that too. But he says, if you'll submit yourself to God, you resist the devil. He'll flee from your personal tents. Brothers and sisters, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. And even when Jesus said, behold, they'll kill you. And they'll deliver you up and be afflicted and kill you, but not a hair of your head will perish. We have to be in a place, brothers and sisters, where we are unmoved. It says, the Lord says, I will never leave you. I know I will never forsake you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. This is the time, brothers and sisters, to bear fruit. This is a great opportunity to bear fruit. Forget your own life. Let God take care of that. You preserve it. You seek the wealth of others. Seek the wealth of Christ and His eternal kingdom. seek the souls of men and women around you and let God take care of your life. For it's in dying that we live. It's in living that we die, like those that brother said, and it's in giving that you receive. Your needs will be taken care of as you begin to minister to the needs of others. But this is a time, brothers and sisters, right now, where everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and everything that's not founded in Jesus Christ and the Word of God will be shaken. Everything that's standing in flesh is going to hit the dirt. The fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. It says, for the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. This is absolute crisis that will absolutely reveal. We're coming to that time, brothers and sisters. And this is the great, right now, forget your own life. Preserve the life of others that are fleeing into the pit at a mad rate right now. You're going to see dead people. You're going to see them. Whether you like it or not, you're going to see them. The world is going to be filled with them. You're going to see all kinds of horror. You're going to see everything. You're going to see plague. You're going to see everything. But brothers and sisters, it's time for us to rise up in Christ and bear fruit. Forget what the devil's doing. The devil is under our feet. We stand in Christ. He has no power over us. And accept what God has given him. We can say with the Lord Jesus Christ, thou hast no power whatsoever against me unless it's given of my Father in heaven. And if we're truly devoted to God and we've submitted ourselves to him, we can stand against everything that the devil comes at. And I disagree with one thing that I think that people using the word Lucifer for the devil right now. Lucifer, the only time that's used in the scripture was when speaking of the pre-fall of the devil. And after that, nobody ever called him Lucifer again. He wishes with all of your heart that you call, because you call him, he wishes with his heart that you'd call him Lucifer, because that was when he had his days of glory, when he was in right standing with God. But now he's the devil, the serpent, Beelzebub, that old devil, the dragon. He's Lord of the Flies. He's not Lucifer. He wishes somebody would believe that. That's what the fallen people believe, that he's Lucifer, that he's yet going to win. He's not. He's just the devil. He's the prince of darkness. He's a serpent. He's a snake and Beelzebub. That's what the scripture calls him. And I just want to say right now that it's already written. We've got that scripture to stand on. We look at the scripture. When it comes time, the devil's time has come. The Lord sends an angel. I saw a great angel. He sends an angel with a great chain in one hand. He latches hold on the devil. That old serpent binds him up and casts him in the abyss for 1,000 years. It didn't take no fuss, no muss. When his time was up, the Lord says, okay, go get him. Wrap him up now. His power's gone. And then it says in Revelation 20:10, and you can quote this to the legions of hell. You can quote it to the devil himself. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's the devil's end. He doesn't win this matter, and we know who wins. And right now, brothers and sisters, we've got one last tremendous storm ahead of us, and we're going to be before the mighty God. We're going to be in that eternal kingdom. And right now, the whole thing comes down to this. Are we going to be overcomers, or are we going to be overcome? Are we going to be those that bear fruit, like it says about the tree that's planted by the rivers of water? He said, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and in whose hope the Lord is, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. God's going to have a people that bear fruit right in the drought, right in the middle of the drought, the driest time that ever was. God's going to have a people that are fruitful in that time because their trees are planted by the river of life. They are not moved. They will not be moved. You know, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should be removed, though the mountain should slip into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The heathen rage, the kingdoms are moved. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow asunder, cutteth He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder, burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. That's the whole point. The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We're not going to fear, though the earth should be removed. We're going to see things that you can't comprehend. The earth is going to change. Mighty earthquakes. The sea is going to roar, rise over. Most of the cities on the coast are going to be underwater. We're going to see unspeakable things in our hour. But this is the time, brothers and sisters, while everybody else is screaming, we need to be singing the high praises of God. I think of that scripture. It says, let the high praises of God, this is Psalm 149, let the high praises of God be in the saints' mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, and to execute upon them the written judgment. This honor have all of his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that's you. This honor have all of his saints. To bind the princes of darkness with chains, and to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, and to execute upon them the written judgment. We're called in this hour to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be ministers of his righteousness. And it's time for us to stop being subjective about what we're going to go through, fearing for our own life. We need to fear for the life of those that don't have hope in Christ. We need to fear for those around us that are going to be going in terror, without hope, having no reference point whatsoever when it all comes down. Some of us understand that there's a battle right now. What about those that don't even know that there's a God, that there's a Savior, that there's a power over the darkness? They have no idea. It's time for us, brothers, to be the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. But you're the salt of the earth also, and if the salt has lost its savor, it is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And brothers and sisters, as Paul says, I'm persuaded of better things of you and things that accompany salvation. You know, it's time for us to believe for the goodness, see the goodness of God in the land of the living, and not to look at what's around us and be moved. We've got to be like Joshua. When Caleb and Joshua were in that land, it's evident what Caleb was looking at when he says, when I was here 40 years ago, the Lord gave me this mountain. He was looking at his inheritance, not the giants around him, because his eyes were on the Lord, and he knew that God was bigger than these little suckers. And it's time for us, brothers and sisters, to get our eyes on the prize, the pearl of great price, to apprehend that for which Jesus Christ apprehended us, to forget the things which are behind, and to reach forward and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that is in Jesus Christ, that we may have a testimony in that day like Paul. I finished my course. I'm now ready to be offered, martyred. Henceforth there's laid up for a crown of righteousness. I run a good race. And it's time, brothers and sisters, right now, this is to get our eyes on the prize. We have one last terrible battle, but he's already overcome it. And all we are, if we'll walk in this thing, we're vessels. He's the treasure. He's the one that's the power. He's the one that we can't do anything in ourselves, but in Christ we can do all things. He's given us power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means harm us. Don't fear them that can kill the body. Fear him who, after he's killed, has power to cast into hell. Brothers and sisters, he's leading forth. Jesus, the forerunner, went and was faithful unto death. And let us also be faithful unto death. And God's going to give us the crown of life.
Amen. Great word of encouragement, Michael. Thank you very much.